What is it that you have? You took some cliff notes as you studied it. You had some ideas about it. What are your thoughts on Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 23? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Whole ball of wax, huh? Where's your sister Cook? Contentment. What does that mean to you? Not only do you need to define what contentment means to you, you know better than I know, and I know better than you know, what makes me content. So what is that? What is that thing that makes you content? Our culture didn't even allow for us to be able to develop contentment in our lives. To be even, you know, we want to be content. But there's so many things out there that we don't know what it is that's going to make us. We all seeking that one big thing that's going to make us content. That one big thing. And then when we get it, we think that one big thing in our lives are going to change us and make us content. But the irony behind all that is this. Paul was in jail, and yet he was. He was content. That's the irony behind it. And the irony behind us seeking contentment is that if we're seeking after something, then you're not content at all. Right? You're just not. But we think that one particular life change is going to make us content. You know, if I had a better job, boy, you pray for that job, you get that job, 6 months later, man, we ain't happy no more, right? Man, look, I love the way y'all marriage is going. I should have married you. You don't know how their marriage is going. You're on the outside looking in. If I'd have married differently, I might be content. A better family. You know, my kids work on my nerves so bad. I wish I'd had some other children. I wish I had that car I got. Oh, I can't get it to act right. I keep spending money on that car. You know, if I get a brand new one, Brother Anson, I'm going to be content. And then there's a limit. Right? Yeah. Listen. There are things that we seek out in our lives that we think is going to make us content. You know? I remember this song was out. It was called Soaking Up the Sun by Sheryl Crow. I used to hear it every night when I was in the military. I used to listen to that song. And there was a verse in that song that said this. It's not getting what you want. It's wanting what you have got. So we got to decide what it is that we have, what we got, and whether we want that or not, if we want to move on past that, so we can be content. So the question we got to ask ourselves is the same thing that Paul is asking us as all. Can we be content? Can you? And if you can, what's your secret to being content? Because let me in on it, right? Let me in on it. But Paul is saying, in verses 4, 8 through 9, he says there is a need for us, like Brother Alex said, when you talk about thinking on these things, there's a need for us to think, period. Not just to think on these things, but just to think, period. Think about stuff. He says, I want you to dwell on it, meditate on it, not just think about it and let it pass through your mind. Think about it and ponder it. Keep it on your mind. Keep these things on your mind. Calculate it carefully about what it is that you think. Why? Because if we are left to reflect on things that this world is throwing into us, it's going to change our mind, our behavior every single time, right? Not only think about these things, not only meditate on them and calculate these things, you know what he says? These things that you've learned, received and heard and seen, he says, put them into practice. A lot of people don't think before they act, right? He says, I want you to think on these things. These are things that are lovely and spiritual things, and I want you to put them into practice. And it's not just about thinking positive thoughts, because people always think, you know what, I'm going to just think some positive thoughts and things in my life are going to be a whole lot better. And the positive thought that I have right now, you know, I'm spiritual. I'm just so spiritual. A lot of times our culture tells us, and there's nothing bad about that. It tells us, for anything else, if we want to change our situation and be content, you know what they tell us? You just think positive. You just keep a positive attitude. Keep it there, right? Yeah, speak that. You're going to get that. Whatever. Right? The televangelists tell us that on TV. You know, you can have a good life right now, right this minute, if you think positive. My life going to be so good, I'm going to think positive. When I walk out that door, it ain't going to be raining. What? Ground wet, I slip down. Paul is not saying to think positive. Rather, he's teaching us to direct our thoughts to be pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. Direct your thoughts in this way. Because if you direct your thoughts in this way, we're going to behave that way, right? What do we allow to fill our minds? That's the thing. Because the things that we allow to fill our minds is going to shape the way we speak and act. Whatever's in the heart comes out of thee all the time. And Jesus said in the mountain message, he says, where your treasure is, what was there? Your heart is right there. So we got to train our minds to think on the things that are godly things. And if we treasure things in our minds, our hearts that are pure, lovely, and excellent, our hearts are going to be attracted to those things as well. We're going to live in a real, wholesome, and pure world. And you know what's going to happen more than anything else? Sometimes we run from it all the time when we're thinking about things. Sometimes we have too many expectations that are not real. We don't want to live in the reality of the now. We don't. Because that's not going to make us content, because what we have in the reality of the now doesn't fit with what I want. Make it real. Make it right. You can have contentment right now. I'm talking about spiritual contentment. But we got it too mixed in with the other spirit, the spirit of the world. We mixing spirits together. Maybe that's why I don't drink, because they mix things too much. I'm thinking I'm getting one thing and I'm getting two, three things mixed in and I'm on the ground. We mix them too. Look, the things that are pure and lovely and excellent, we think about those things sometimes. But what's really on our minds is what is real to us, right? And we ought to want to live wholesome and pure lives, but our minds sometimes fall on things that affects the direction of our lives. It does. It takes us places that we don't want to be. You know that. It does. And not just criminal things or sinful things. It doesn't have to be nothing that's necessarily criminal or sinful. Because social media on its own is not a criminal or sinful thing. But boy, I tell you what, we swiping right. Right? If it ain't right, it's up. Right? So what do we allow in our mind? Paul says, listen, we need to destroy every argument and every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought, what? Captive to obey Christ. Take every thought captive. You ever thought about that? You possess the thoughts that you propagate in your own mind, that you navigate. You possess those thoughts. They're yours. They're not mine. And you're responsible for it, right? Ecclesiastic writer says, and every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. And every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. So that means that our thoughts are either going to lead us to Christ or take us away from Christ. That's why we need to make every thought captive for Christ. We've got to evaluate our thinking so our hearts are going to be filled with the treasure of Christ, because where your treasure is, and we're going to be right there with Christ, Brother Brown, because that's what fills our hearts, our minds, right? So we got to take an inventory. Paul says, I'm sitting in jail and I've written this letter to you, to the church, and we have to take inventory of the things in our lives so that we might be content, right? So clean up your own thoughts. Clean up your own mind. You can't clean up mine. You might hear some things I say and you might think it's egregious, right? You come to me and you try to help me to clean it up, but I got to clean it up myself, because every man, he's got to answer before God, right? Every tub stands on its own bottom. What you think may not be what I think. But if we have the mind of Christ, we ought to be thinking the same things. Like-minded is what the Bible calls it, right? Like-minded, like-minded. So, what are some of the things that your mind promotes? We look at movies all the time, right? Pure and lovely, excellent and praiseworthy movies. We read books all the time. Pure and lovely, commendable, excellent books. We listen to music all the time. Pure, lovely, commendable, excellent music, right? What we read on the internet. Pure and lovely, excellent. Praiseworthy things on the internet. Streaming online, social media. We can't allow. Listen, you got to get rid of that Instagram. You can't allow those things to drag your mind down, right? Right? Sister Bell, she's going to DM me in a minute. I know that she's going to tell me, look, brother, don't call me out like that. She's going to DM me, right? We can't allow those things to drag our minds down. And then they become sinful and evil things as well, because it's keeping us from thinking about the lovely, the pure, and the commendable thoughts that Paul calls us to through Christ Jesus, right? Because watching the news in itself is not sinful, right? But the news sometimes causes us to do what? What'd you say? Worry, right? The news sometimes causes us to complain. And when we do those things, we lose faith in God, because our faith is in what they're saying on that TV. And we get wrapped up in that and we lose the sight of God, then it becomes sinful, right? But those of us that follow Christ and our minds are set on the things of God, you know, watching, reading, and looking at too many sinful things, too many sinful images, it kind of gets in the way of us being a Christian, the kind of Christian that God calls us to be. We're still Christian, right? But not the Christian that God has called us to be, because it starts to damage our faith, because it's not drawing us closer to God at all. It's just not doing that. Our thoughts are not drawn. We ought to take our thoughts captive, captive to the point that they will draw us closer to God. Let me give an example of that. You first met that man or that woman, that's all your mind was on. Am I right? Oh, man, it drew you closer to him or her, and you kept thinking about him over and over. You just couldn't be without him, right? Well, your mind at today. Still drawing you close to that man, that woman, right? Take those thoughts captive, right? Because those thoughts should all be about the things that are lovely and pure and commendable and not damaging to us. Not thinking something differently from what we thought initially, right? And then he says, when you do that, you learn to show your appreciation for God and who he is, as Paul shows his appreciation for Philippian Christians who've shown their love and concern for him, right? He said they've been taking care of him financially, and he thanks them for those. He says, look, I thank y'all. Y'all been taking care of me from the jump, right? And in verse 14, he's grateful to them for taking care of him and sharing in his troubles. And this is what he says. Y'all were the only, that something? When somebody has something done for them and they come to you, they tell you, you were the only one that did this or did that for them, how does that make you feel? You were the only one, huh?
It makes you feel good if you're the only one.
Yes, you were the only one. Out of all the churches around, you were the only church that cared for me and took care of my needs and shared in my troubles. Only church that did that for me, right? They sent more to Paul while he was in Thessalonica. And the giving that they were doing was to their credit. Like Deidre says, it was more so for them to know that encouragement was coming from them and how grateful he was as a result of that, right? God gives us everything that we need for life and godliness, and he is the only one. Are we grateful for that? Do we give him credit for that? Are we content with that? Or he's not giving us what we need or more of what we want? Where does our contentment lie with that? Where does it? And just like the Philippian church continues to send Paul gifts over and over again, God continues to bless us with gifts, right? He's the Father of heavenly lights. He gives us gifts from heaven. All spiritual gifts is something that people that are not Christians, they don't enjoy. Who gets tired of getting gifts? It's tired of getting, give you the same old one all the time. You might get tired of that, right? But you should be grateful for it, because God gives us the same things over and over and over again, and that's the gift of love. He does. Maybe we're getting tired of that. Maybe we are. I don't know. But to show a picture of a kind and generous and pure heart is what we need to do as Christians for each other, especially Paul is talking to those who are proclaiming the gospel. He says, you are advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and those things that you're doing for each other and that you're doing for me is helping the world to see who you are and what you're all about. And that's how we advance it, and we're content when we're doing it, right? But what Paul says again, he says, listen, I don't want you to misunderstand anything in verse 11. He says, don't misunderstand it. You see, don't get it twisted. I appreciate what you did for me, but I don't need it. I don't need it. And that's not being ungrateful. Why is he saying he don't need it, right? Not that I'm speaking because I'm in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content, right? Here's what we got to learn about contentment. It's something that you have to learn. It's a learning process. Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever situation that he's in. So what does that mean? And he can be fine in any circumstance because his mind is right. That's what controls it, right? It's not the circumstance that you're in, it's how you handle that circumstance all the time. So his mind is right. I can be fine in any circumstance, all right? Could we say the same thing? His joy does not depend on getting rid of his physical discomfort or even getting out of jail. His joy doesn't depend on that at all. His joy was not his, boy, every other Friday, I'm content because it's what? It's payday. Oh, and that makes us content, doesn't it? First of the month, boy, I'm so content because the check is in the mail. He's not content in how much money he made. It didn't matter if he had nice things. It didn't matter if he had a nice donkey to drive around town. So, y'all, check out this donkey I'm on right here, right? He was content. He was content because he had the all-sufficiency of God. And the opposite of that is what? Self-sufficiency. He wasn't depending on himself for anything. Contentment, what Paul is saying right here, is contentment is being satisfied in Christ. And it's not natural. It's not a natural thing. It's a learned behavior. Contentment is a learned. You know, a lot of people just, you might see him smile on the outside. Who made a song like Smokey Robinson? Smile on the outside, but inside he's just tears of a clown. Hold on, Sister Jackson. That's it. But it's not natural, right? And Paul says that he learned to be content in whatever situation he was in. It wasn't a natural thing. He learned it. Why? Because as we continue to grow in Christ Jesus, we're going to understand that nothing else will satisfy us. It just won't. Not if we thinking on these things. Nothing else is going to satisfy us, right? And that's the same message of the book of Ecclesiastes. What the ecclesiastical writer said? Tell me what he said. He says, everything is what? Vanity. He said, I did everything I set my mind to do. He had it all, did everything he wanted to do. And at the end, what did he say? The conclusion of the matter is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of God. And God will bring every deed into the judgment, every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. He said, I've done everything I put my mind to do. I had everything that I wanted, right? But no satisfaction comes to us other than the satisfaction that's in Christ Jesus. Because we only become sufficient only in Christ. We're not sufficient outside of the body of Christ, right? And the result of that is what we read in verse 12. Paul knows how to be brought low. He knows how to be high. It doesn't matter what circumstance he finds himself in. He is content, right? He said, I've had plenty. He said, I've been sucking rice. Abundance, I've been in need. Hardships, financial gain. But the secret, let me tell you what the secret is, he said, full dependence on Jesus Christ. Full, F-U-L-L. Not on me, not on my education, not on my finances, not on my friends, right? Full and total dependence on Christ Jesus. Now, let me just tell you all something, because we love this verse right here, verse number 13. Read it again. Verse 13, exactly what it says. We can quote it. It's in our minds and our hearts. It's just there, right? But it's totally ripped out of its contents, right? Because verse 13 is not saying that God strengthens me and therefore I can be a success. He's not saying that. You see, sports people all the way on TV all the time, oh, God gives me the strength to shoot this basketball and to make this touchdown and to score this goal. And he's not saying that. He's not saying that I'm giving you strength that you can play football. It's not about a selfish life pursuit. It's not just about you and what you can do. Christ is valuable in our lives and satisfying so that we are content in any circumstance. Because what if I can't play football? I can't be content, right? God is the one who sustains me. God sustains us, and we need to realize that. What gets you through your day? Coffee. What gets you through the day? Tell me what gets you through the day. Anything? Somebody, tell me what gets you through the day.
The strength and
endurance. First of all, getting to work early, meditating, and having everything in order.
What gets you through the day, Sister Jackson? Get you through the day. How about you, Sister D? What gets you through the day? What gets you through the day?
But no, I'm just always thankful to wake up again.
And you see, and everybody's got the same idea. What actually gets us through the day is God. Right? God gets us through the day, and the thought of God gets us through the day, and the meditation on God gets us through the day, because the world surrounds us with all of these things that distract us, and those things don't get us through the day. They don't even make the day for us, right? But it pollutes our day, right? God is the one that gets us through the day, and you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Those of us whose mantra is that God gets us through the day, the reason we have that mantra is because we have learned to be content in Christ. You've learned that. It isn't something that you just say, you know, I'm a beacon. We don't get up every day thinking, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. No. We have learned that. And listen, my aunt was 92 years old, Aunt Lou. She'd get in the car, and I said, Aunt Lou, you got to put your seatbelt on. And she looks at me. She looks at the seatbelt. She looks at me. Because when she grew up, there was no seatbelt. Right? I said, Aunt Lou, you got to put that seatbelt on. She said, well, you know what I'm going to do, Shay? I'm just going to put it across me. I'm going to hold it. You know what I told her? I said, you're not going to be holding it when you go through that windshield, Shay. Right? We have got to learn to be content, because a lot of us have not learned that. We much rather just project a low self-image and stay where we are, because we can navigate that. God doesn't call us to that. Then call us to the so-and-so, to the average. He asked that our minds and our hearts be looking towards heaven, keep our eyes on Jesus, because that's where our contentment is. It isn't in all this stuff that we're going through here. It isn't in that. Listen, it could be learned. Contentment can be learned, all right? If we set our minds on things that are lovely and pure and commendable, and the praiseworthy things of Christ is what this lesson says. Because when I look at everything else in this world, it's just a facade. It looks like it's making somebody else happy, so I want to be happy because they're happy, right? Nah, it's not commendable. And we're not content with it at all. Why are my eyes on possessions? Why? When my eyes are on possessions, you know what I'm going to say? I need some new ones. Man, look. When we was in the military, they handed us out a pair of boots, right? And you didn't get another pair of boots until what? Huh? What'd you say, Brother Anson? Exactly. You didn't walk into BX and say, you know, let me just get another pair of boots because these boots, I got them 2 days ago. Right? It's all about our minds. When my eyes are on possessions, then I think I need new ones. I see somebody else with a car and I look at mine, oh, I need a new one. A new house, oh, you know, I need, look at my house, my clothes, my computer, whatever it might be. But when my eyes are on Christ, what am I thinking about? Him. Thinking about him, right? That's why I said when we first met that man or that woman, the one that we with now and been with all of our lives, oh, our minds was on them all the time, Sister Brown, you couldn't get him off your mind, huh? You get him off your mind. And now we sit around and we say, well, shucks, where they at? What are we doing? How we living? I can enjoy my relationships because I'm focusing on my relationships. I can't enjoy any relationship that I don't attempt to focus on. I can live in humility, I can live a life of self-denial, and I can self-sacrifice myself because my mind is centered on those things that are lovely and pure and it's centered on Christ. This is the context of the thing that it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The context is that the strength of God supplies us through Christ to be content in all situations. Not that he makes me strong so I can go out and kick a football, or he makes me strong so I can pass this. No, it's not that. I have Christ in my life, therefore I am. Oh, you really? Was what you say, bro?
Losing loved ones, man.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to move on.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really just push through.
Here's verse number 19. A lot of people rip this out of context, so let me just entertain that a few. 13 and 19, people just rip out. What does 19 say? What does that mean to you? Look at 19. Is it? Listen, again, we're thinking about our minds on these things that he mentioned, right? We can look at this and we can have full confidence that God is going to care for us and give us what we need for life. We can have full confidence in that, but most times we waffle. Verse 19 is ripped out of its context because the paragraph sounds like Paul is proclaiming that you're going to have health and you're going to have wealth. It's a health and wealth message. Some people take it that way. That's not a health and wealth message at all. Paul just said he'd been brought low in his life. He just faced hunger and he just faced need. The message is not that the more you give to God financially, the more God going to give to you financially. That's what the world says. Money coming. Come throw this money down at my feet. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. You can't pay your light bill. It's not saying that. It's not saying that the more you give God financially, the more God will give you financially, because it's not about finances. It's about spirituality, right? Even when Paul was hungry, you know, he gave all he had to God. He still was content. So what we have to understand right now and come to grips with, when we look at this verse, is what is our greatest need? Is it a bunch of money or possessions? Is it grits and gravy? Is it? It's our salvation. God has given us what we need for salvation and for life in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Listen to that. Two things. He's given us everything we need to live our lives and to serve him. Boy, isn't that something? And how do we get that? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's how we get it. Everything, he's given us everything, and we don't need no more than two things. But I want four, five, or six things. Life, godliness, right? And if we never realize that God gives us those things for life and godliness, then you're walking around just like the tears of a clown. Looking all good on the outside, smiling. The world, oh, he got everything he need, right? Crushed in spirit. Crushed in spirit.
See what Paul was saying, he can give you all your needs, give you all your needs, not everything that you want. Because the worldly things would be the worldly things a lot of times. Your needs is the thing that keep you going on an everyday basis. Where with, you know,
so here's the question that you just brought in my mind. Everybody's got to answer this question for themselves. Do we have enough to be content right now? Everybody with this resounding, do you have enough to be content right now? And we're not talking about the world, we're talking about spiritually speaking. How is your spiritual gas tank looking? I know physical gas pretty high. You might not want to fill it up. Might put $20, $30 in there to ride for the, out the week. But your spiritual tank, do we have enough in us filled with the Spirit of God to be content in the life that we live in, right? Because we often think we need so much more, but we've got to learn to be content with the things that we have. The things that we have should be found in Christ Jesus. That's where contentment is. Whether I'm hungry, or whether I got a lot. Let me just tell you something. The way I grew up, and I've got these notes written, and I have never escaped this room ever in my life. And my mom did the best that she could. But I find myself in just one room, and the name of my narrative is Four Walls and a Door, and I'm still in that room. And that's what keeps me driven to be for God what I need to be and to do for other people what they need to do as well. Four walls and a door, one mattress. I still remember it. I was a little bitty boy. And I look up, the window was high. And remember them white transistor radios? In the window, playing music. We only had AM then. So I hear a lot of songs in my culture. So that's why I knew what Sheryl Crow was talking about, right? But you've got to have something in you that doesn't allow you to be content with what you have. You've got to have something in your spirit that doesn't allow you to be content with where you are spiritually, because your faith has to continue to grow. You have to continue to build on that faith, and not only that, to build each other up as well and not look at the other man and say, well, you know what? You don't have this and I have that. No. Teach contentment by the way you live. Teach contentment by the satisfaction that you have in Christ. Teach contentment, because you have to learn it, and you're going to continue to learn it until Christ comes back. Because you're not happy with what you have when he comes back. What he says? To the ones who have more, the ones who have much, what? Much is required, right? Think about the parable of the talents. Think about that. I mean, you gave me one talent, I was afraid that I was going to lose everything that you, so I'm going to go bury it. I'm happy to go bury it, because I know when you come back, you're going to be happy that I did it, and I still got what you gave me. No, I need you to grow. That's what I need you to do. Don't be happy where you are, because God doesn't call us for the sowing, so he calls us to think lovely, pure, and honest things. And to be content in every situation, because our needs are being provided by God. So what are your minds focused upon? Think about that. Is it on the glory of Jesus Christ? Is it learning contentment? Right now, what are you going to set your minds on? It's going to be worldly things, sinful things, material things. Satisfaction. People used to always say all the time, you're never satisfied. Never satisfied. And you look in the book of Proverbs, proverbial writer says that the grave is never satisfied. Think about that. Never satisfied. So are you like that? Yeah. You know why God made us to live this life that we live? And everybody, like Brother Anderson said, we live different lives, we have different experiences. But when it comes to our spiritual life, God made us to live this way so we would see that the joy and satisfaction that we have are in Christ alone. He is the only one that gives us that. Paul says, listen, when I was in need, when I was hurting, when I was out trying to be the person that God has called me to be, you were the only church, the Philippian church, to give me what I needed. Not what I wanted. God is the only one that gives us what we need, and we ought to be grateful for that, right? Right? And listen, we can't go at it alone. Too many of us want to be lone rangers, right? And on the flip side of that, too many of us want to have everything. God gives us everything that we need. It's the spiritual things in life that count. Lack of a better word, get your mind right. Right? Get your mind right. Think on these things. Think on these things. We need proper thinking. Again, the word that's translated here means that you need to think about it, dwell on it, meditate on it. It means to keep it in mind all of the time. Yes, sir. Keep it in mind. Lord knows I think about my wife more than I can even think or imagine. And sometimes, you know, like yesterday, was looking at the strip on the door in the front. And I was thinking one thing, and she was thinking another thing. And I took the strip off to show, and she showed me. So my thought was that, you know what? I know what I'm saying. But her thought was, I know what I'm saying too. Do you really know what you're thinking and what you're saying when it comes to God? You think you're going to show God, and God's going to show you. In the end of it all, the bottom line is, our contentment only comes in Christ. Right? And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but he gives me strength. All the things that he's talking about are spiritual things. You know, I prayed to God that I win this race, I can run so much faster. It's not about that. I prayed to God I'm the best quarterback in the world, right? Cheerleader. Who was the cheerleader here? Who was the cheer? Yeah, best cheerleader ever, right? Yes, indeed. It's not about us sitting around learning every verse that we can learn. It's about living the verses that we have learned. So that God's word is in us, dwells in us, and lives in us. And as a result of that, we can be, what's that word? Content.
Changing your mindset. I'm going to get up an hour and a half earlier so I can be on time.
Huh?
I can do, I can budget my money better. I can reach out to more sisters and brothers and make a deeper love connection. There are so many things we can do that we don't do just out of selfishness, laziness. If we want to grow, you have to put in the work.
Here's the last question I got for you. What is the one big thing, Sister Emma, that will make you content? What's the one big thing, Sister Clark, that'll make you content? One big thing, Brother Vaughn, Sister Anderson, Brother Brown. What is the one big thing, Brother Collins, that's going to make me content? You got to think on those things. And if it isn't Christ, let's make it happen. Let's make it Christ. That's all I got for you. Anybody got any other comments before we shut this down? We were late last week, but I don't want to be late this week getting out. We good? Again, I've been talking to Brother Banks about some different things for Sunday morning as well. We finished the book of Philippians. Sister Glenetta said, how are we going to do the book of Philippians? It's just 4 chapters. How are we going to get through that? 13 weeks, right? We got through it. And hopefully that lesson has helped you. You can continue to study it and see the things that God calls for us to do in that book. But the bottom line is, in all things, we are happy because Christ is our Savior. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be found present again on this day and studying your word. We ask that our hearts and minds may have been opened, Father, and filled with the glory of your presence as we studied your word, and that, Father, our minds and our hearts might be shaped according to your word and your will as well, that we might continue, Father, to live out the gospel and teach the gospel and be a people that you've called us to be. We thank you for the Christ and for his example. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness of our sins. And we ask that we might continue, Father, in all things to live this life in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto you. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.